Thank you very much to our readers. Well done. You did a great job. It'll help the mums and dads and all the adults to keep Proverbs 31 open in front of them. So hopefully you haven't closed that, because we're going to look at it together shortly. Before we do that, though, I have asked three mums to come and share with us this morning. So I'll invite Glinda, Jeanette and Samantha to come to the front. So I thought today, because we were hearing from Proverbs 31, that I would ask these three ladies their thoughts on the woman who is described there. I wanted to ask them, what about that woman encourages them, and what about that woman challenges them? I think I already heard from someone that there's probably more challenges than encouragements. Did someone say that to me? Anyway. Maybe before you share those answers, maybe just for those who may not know you, just introduce yourself and let us know about your family situation, children, grandchildren.
My name's Glinda. I've been at St. Paul's for a very long time now. I have a beautiful son in Geraldton as a minister with three lovely grandsons. And I have my mum here, Joy. And yeah, we're a very close family, and it's a great blessing.
Thanks, Glinda. Do you want to share what you find encouraging about the woman in Proverbs 31?
When I read that, I thought, well, she's righteous, blameless, and fears the Lord. She has sacrificial and devoted love for her husband and family. She is economically astute, frugal, and productive, compassionate and generous to her community, a teacher, wise and insightful, and a blessing to all, and dearly loved. The statement that affected me most deeply, I think, was strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. When I read that, it reminded me a lot of, though all those qualities were qualities that Job had before he faced trial. And when he faced trial, he actually, he completely trusted in God, his faith grew, and he was used according to God's purpose. And I think that this lady too, when she would face trial, I mean, this is a reading of her in her happy place, but I think that when she would face trial, she would completely trust in God, that she would know the power of love, and she would know the deep joy of being a service to God, and that that ultimately that she would be part of her kingdom, part of his kingdom. And I think that is the greatest and deepest joy that we can know, and that's such an encouragement.
Thanks, Glinda. Jeanette?
So just the encouragement?
Introduce yourself. Let us know about your family situation, and then, what you find encouraging.
Hi, I'm Jeanette, and I'm married to Hilton. We live in Terry Hills. We have two adult daughters who are not living at home at the moment. And my eldest daughter, Edith, is married to Lachlan, and she's expecting a baby in September. So that's really exciting. And a younger daughter, Heather, has left her dear little puppy at our house. So that's a nice joy. And she comes over once a week to see the puppy and me. So that's my family. He's not a puppy anymore. He's two. He's just little. And so what was encouraging for me in the passage was kind of the context, actually. I really loved that. This was what the king's mother taught him, King Lemuel's mother taught him this, and I thought, if I had sons, I'd be asking them to look out for a girl like that. And having daughters, it's a nice ideal to aspire to, but being realistic, she doesn't mention any faults. Not that you're looking for faults when you're looking for a lady to get married to, however, she's going to have some. And the thing that I found challenging...
Yes, hello. So my name's Samantha, and I have five children today here. Actually, one of them's not here. Verity and Ezekiel's playing rugby. He said his gift to me is that he's going to win rugby today. I was like, okay. So he'll go to church at St. Ives tonight. And then Keziah, Imani and Joash, and I'm very blessed today to have both my mother and my mother-in-law here, and so blessed by them as mothers in my life. After not having spent a Mother's Day in Australia for the last 10 years, I'm really treasuring today as an opportunity to celebrate and just be thankful to God for this opportunity to be together. Let's just say Mother's Day in Tanzania. Yeah, you should lower your expectations. It's the way to get through that one. So about this passage, I think, you know, what encourages me and what challenges me, everything and everything, when I look at it. And I think when I look at it, it's an encouragement to just always strive to do better. And I know it's not based on our works, what we do, because that's not, you know, what God wants. He wants our heart. He wants us to love him with our whole hearts. And I think that's really raised at the end where it says, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. She does all of these things, but she does them in the fear of the Lord. That's her reason for doing them. She does them because she loves her family, and she loves her husband, and she loves her children with deep abiding love. But really her ultimate reason for doing all those things is because she loves the Lord. And I think for me that's an encouragement that my efforts, you know, average on a good day and really subpar on a normal day, there, you know, I really just have to focus on doing the things I do for the Lord, and that's encouraging.
Challenges?
Yes. Okay, the challenges I thought was listening to the world. I think sacrificial love in the world is often considered like your domesticated doormat or a slave. And in Western society, there's a great emphasis on physical beauty and youth and sensuality and self-fulfillment. It's all about my rights. It's about my time. And there's a sense of people complaining and never being happy and satisfied, and marriage isn't honoured anymore. Children are palmed out to carers and that kind of thing. And I guess that it's trying to remind me to be a godly role model to my family and loved ones. It's reminding me to put God first, and to be that God is first of all my refuge and my joy and my peace, and that I must listen to God above all.
Challenges, all of it, absolutely all of it. I read it and I thought, gosh, she doesn't sit and have three cups of tea and do the crossword. She's busy working all day. That's a big challenge. Don't think she touches the ground. And also, I think particularly the word that everything that comes out of her mouth is kind and wise. And I find that particularly challenging at home, because I hate being told what to do or criticised, and I tend to get reactive. So I think that's the biggest challenge. And I really appreciated the talk we had last week about that. But again, like Sam said, that it's not because we want to please people, but it's from the heart. Your mouth speaks what your heart's full of, which is a big challenge, because your heart's, you know, that's where the challenge comes for what comes out of my mouth at home. That's my...
Yeah, I think the flip side of the encouragement is the challenge, that you're not just trying to tick all the boxes and just say, yeah, well, I've done this, this and this, so, yeah, I must be on the right side. The challenge is to keep your heart focused on the Lord when all of these things, you could literally spend your days, you know, filling, doing all of these things. But, you know, that would be to no advantage if you didn't have a heart focused on the Lord. And I think it's really, you know, we're all living life outside the garden, and we're not in heaven yet, and so it's a challenge to keep living a life that is worthy of our calling, that is one that is honouring to God. And so the challenge is to teach our children that this is this word of the Lord is what we should be following. The way that she lives is one which is following the Lord. And so my challenge is to my children to follow the Lord and to focus on Him.
I want to thank them very much for sharing. I feel like I need to say very little. And I will try and keep it short. Okay. Now, it really helps to hear from the mums. Their honesty is very helpful. Here we go, super mum. Let's face it, the woman in Proverbs 31 is super mum. Glinda, could I ask you just to read out, when you shared the encouragements, you listed a number of things about her. Could you read that again, rather than me describing her? I think it was really helpful what you said.
She is righteous, blameless, and fears the Lord, sacrificial and devoted love for her husband and family, economically astute, frugal, and productive, compassionate and generous to her community and those in need, a teacher, wise and insightful, a blessing to all and dearly loved.
It's a great summary of the description of the woman there. During the week, I found an article entitled Feeling the Pressure to be Super Mum. Let me quote a section. Each generation of mums has had its challenges, but for today's women, there is a new goal to strive for, to be a super mum. Are you feeling the pressure, mums? Yes. She drops the kids off at school with their fruit-filled lunchboxes and heads off for a bit of mummy and baby yoga, if they're lucky. Before going home to hang out the washing, which she'd cleverly put in before school run, she breastfeeds the baby, who then sleeps for 2 hours while she puts on a healthy casserole in the oven and works on her successful online business. She's a super mum, and guess what, ladies? She doesn't exist, says the article, but that doesn't stop us from wanting to be just like her. So where does super mum syndrome, the idea that we can and should be able to have it all, come from? And once we find out, as we inevitably do, that we can't achieve perfection both at home and at work, why do we feel so guilty and deflated? Once upon a time, motherhood was the given and work was the choice, says postnatal expert Juliet. Now it's the other way around. And whether that's because of economic or personal reasons, it all adds to the pressure mums place on themselves. Juliet believes that once your baby is born, you develop a mummy chip, a device that programs you to believe that nothing you do will be good enough. For some reason, once we're mums, we start to judge ourselves by the targets we've missed. For example, if you don't breastfeed or your child doesn't crawl as quickly as others, we see that as our failure. We don't see that our baby can maybe do something others can't, it doesn't matter. That doesn't make sense. And then, of course, there's the guilt. Mums who are forced back to work for financial reasons are often racked with guilt, but staying at home can be hard too. Some psychologists say full-time mothers are more likely to suffer from depression. For some, being judged by working mums who think they have an easier time at home can be annoying, while for others, the loss of their old life and sense of identity is very difficult. Psychologist Paula warns, when you're at home, there's no sense of an ending. Serving the baby just goes on and on. It's easy to become isolated and feel you're becoming uninteresting to others. It's time to realise you can't do everything. Psychotherapist Marnie says, every mother knows there aren't enough hours in the day to get everything done, and that's without adding a career. Since when did women stop viewing motherhood as a full-time job in its own right? The superhuman mums we read about or see on TV are a fiction. The perfect work-life balance of celebs like Angela Jolie or Gwyneth Paltrow is achieved by a team of nannies, drivers, cleaners and hairdressers. The message that mums should be able to balance work and family life and be successful in both roles is dangerous, says Marnie. More and more women brand themselves failures for not achieving this label, which is incredibly value-laden. All we can do is our best, and we should learn to accept that. While there certainly be occasions when we mess up, there's still plenty of time when we achieve the seemingly impossible. And Juliet says, you don't have to be perfect, you just have to be mum. So maybe the woman of Proverbs 31 makes you feel far from perfect. And I'm talking to more than just the mothers here this morning. She raises the bar, I think, for all of us, for mums, those who aren't mums, for dads, men, male and female alike. She sets a standard that I think is unattainable. And I think there's a reason for that. There's pretty much consensus amongst scholars that the woman of Proverbs 31 is the personification of wisdom. Okay, so you read Proverbs 31 about the wife of noble character and you think, wow, you know, how can I achieve that? Well, she is the personification of wisdom. She is the fitting conclusion of the book of Proverbs, a picture of the wisdom found within the book. She is in stark contrast to the wayward woman in chapter 7, who is a personification of foolishness. So you've got these two contrasting women, the wayward woman and the woman of Proverbs 31. They are personifications of the foolish life and the wise life. And who of us is perfectly wise? Even the best of mums fall short. None of us is perfect. None of us is the embodiment of wisdom, except for one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who we want to focus on this morning, even on Mother's Day. He is the embodiment of wisdom. He is the perfect one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes this here to the Corinthian church. Let's read it together. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. What do we learn from these verses? Well, firstly, without God's intervention, we are far from wise. So listen once again to what Paul says. Think of what you were when you were called. So think of what you were before God's intervention in your life. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Not a particularly encouraging list of traits, is it? Now, here we are on Mother's Day, a nice, warm, uplifting Mother's Day sermon, and we're hearing... not many of you were wise, not influential, not of noble birth, foolish, weak, lowly, despised things that are not. But he says more than that. He says God chose you. God chose you despite that. Despite being those things, you know, not being great, not being perfect, despite that, far from perfect, God chose you. God united us to Jesus, and he is our wisdom. He is our wisdom. It's because of him, that is, because of God, that you are in Christ Jesus. It's not because you are wise or strong or clever or beautiful or good or spiritual or religious. It's not because of that. It's because of God's choice, despite us. It's because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So you see there at the end how Paul describes wisdom. Wisdom is all about righteousness, holiness, and redemption. And these things are only available in Christ. Many people think, where are we? There. Many people think that wisdom is found in books, in libraries, in bookstores, especially in the philosophy section or the sociology section or the history section or the psychology or spirituality, the self-help sections. That is where the source of wisdom, of all wisdom, is found. But now Paul says all you need is the Bible, because true wisdom is found in a person in Christ Jesus. He is able to give us righteousness. Righteousness is found in him. So, you know, the big question, how do I live rightly in this world? How can I be made right with God so that my soul is secure for eternity? Big questions. It's through Jesus Christ and his death for our sin. Through him I am justified. Through him I am declared right with God. And then from that point I can be rewired to live rightly according to God's good and perfect ways. Holiness. How can I, a great sinner that I am, with all my immorality and impurity, enter into the presence of a holy God? Again, through Jesus Christ. I must be washed by his blood, purified in the sight of God. Only then, by his power, can I be transformed to live a holy life, one that's pleasing to God and distinctly Christian. Lastly, redemption. How can I be redeemed from my slavery to sin, my slavery to self-service, rather than the service of God? Well, that requires a divine miracle. Only Jesus can redeem us. Only his Spirit can change our hearts so that we delight in serving God rather than running away from him in order to serve ourselves. So I've just described righteousness, holiness, and redemption. And they may kind of sound like big picture things, and in a sense they are. They are big categories, if you like. They are big categories for describing our relationship with God and how we live. But in the nuts and bolts of life, I think these things are very practical. They're very earthly. The whole question of living rightly, living a holy life that's pleasing to God, living a free life, serving God. And in this sense, I think they are very practical, earthy, very relevant to Mother's Day, because, of course, being a mum is very earthy. It's Christ who enables us to live wisely, to live God's way in God's world in the everyday. It's Christ, our wisdom, who enables us to live according to Proverbs 31. And not just Proverbs 31, the whole of the Proverbs. I'm not sure whether you are reading much Bible at the moment, how long it is since you've kind of picked up the Bible and had a good read and got into the habit of reading regularly, but I think there could be no better part of the Bible to get back into reading the Bible than reading through the Proverbs. Wisdom for living, very practical and earthy, giving us great guidance for living as God's people. I want to encourage us this morning, if we haven't had the Bible open for a little while, to make a commitment to work our way through the Proverbs, to learn from the God's wisdom that is there. And can I finish by encouraging the mums here particularly? You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be the super mum. You have Christ. He is to be your wisdom. He is the one working in you, transforming you to be more like him, to be more like that woman in Proverbs 31. He is doing that work. Christ, whom you have, whom you are united to, you believe in him and follow him, Christian. Well, he is merciful. He is gracious. He is compassionate. He forgives you when you fail. He picks you up and helps you to go again. He loves you, and he wants what is best for you and what is best for your family. So I want to encourage you this morning, this Mother's Day, to keep trusting in him, to keep relying on his strength in the everyday, in the ups and in the downs, in the joys and in the sorrows. Christ is our wisdom. He is our strength. Let me pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we've had this morning to gather together on this Mother's Day, to be encouraged through all that we have heard and all that we have done together. We thank you particularly for your word to us this morning from Proverbs 31. We thank you that wisdom is indeed available in your word, so that we might live well in your world. And we thank you that it points us ultimately to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the embodiment of all wisdom. Father, help us all, whether we're mums or otherwise, to be trusting in him, relying on his strength to be changed and transformed, to be able to live wisely in your world. Father, thank you for this encouragement. We pray you'll be with us this day as we spend further time with family this afternoon. Bless our time together. Bless us as a church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.